Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. And welcome to LiveDeliverance.com here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. And if you're listening to us via the simulcast during the 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock time slot here on Monday evenings, we're so glad to have you. And because the Lord is moving in a mighty way, it's my pleasure to let you know that you can also hear LiveDeliverance.com broadcast on Facebook at facebook.com/events/www.blogtalkradio.livedeliverance.com podcast from Apple. You can listen to it at podcast.apple.com/US. Excuse me. And you can listen to us on the Player FM series at player.fm/livedeliverance. Wow. As the Lord is moving, he's raising his glory all over the world. We'd like to ask you to get involved with the ministry and invite some of your friends, your family members, even co-workers, to come and listen to the broadcast and be blessed. Don't forget that tonight's ministry will also be available for you about 10 minutes after the broadcast. So just go to the website, look for livedeliverance.com, Pastor Steve Lee, and the date of the broadcast that you want to share. So now please go ahead and get a pen and some paper so that if you have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight, when we get to the end of the broadcast, I'll give you an opportunity to ask those questions or make those comments. Please know that I'm only here because of what the Lord said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, and the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, unto the effectual working of the, to the effectual working of every part, making an increase of the body of itself in love. Now, having said all that, if you will go ahead and get down to the business of the kingdom. So if you would, go ahead and agree, put your hearts in a prayer position of prayer as we get started. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might see wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Live big in me so that I might decrease and you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives, cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men, as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, this is part five of a topic that we gave, seeing then. And we want to just talk about the things that hope and faith work together to bring us to the place of victory. So if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses chapter 3. I'm going to get it right in a minute here, y'all. Pray for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 to 18. And this is kind of where I got it from. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished, but their minds were blinded, for unto this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, they have a veil on their heart. Nevertheless, when it turns to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we, with an open face, beholding as a glass the Lord, we are changed from glory to glory into the same Spirit by the Spirit of the Lord. Sometimes, you know, people will read a scripture in a dark time in their life, and they leave the blinders on because of the pain, the hurt, the sorrow, the depression that's taken over their heart. And so their eyes, the eyes of their understanding spiritually have been closed, and they spiral down and down and away from the victory and from the liberty that we've been called into. They fall into bondage, fear, frustration, and defeat. And they don't see well because of the blinder on their heart and on their eyes. God has given us a guide into our preordained victory. The Word of God is that guide that we can then follow, flow, and enjoy everything that God has ordained for our lives. So he said that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty brings a flow. You know, I say this all the time. Information from the Father to you. Information to the Father by the Spirit. And information from Jesus to you. That's the real cycle of life. The Father pours into the Son. The Son pours into the Spirit. The Spirit pours into us. If we would simply allow that. But sometimes we allow the frustration to speak to us. We allow the frustration to blind our heart and blind our mind. So I want to just kind of help us with that today. Just something you can, a little quick anecdote, if you would. I said information without inspiration equals hesitation, frustration, and perspiration. Desperation, consternation, and any other nation that I don't want to be in. But information with inspiration gives us participation, confirmation, celebration, exaltation, expectation, and destination. These are some of the nations I want to be found in. Our thinking then on the inward conversations of our lives matter because they bring to pass things that must happen. God watches over his word to perform it. But when we get stuck in information without inspiration, we give the devil opportunity to mess things up. You do know that he's seeking those that he can devour. Our job is to do what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour everybody, but he is seeking whom he can devour. If I'm going to allow my frustration to take my eye off of Jesus, then I will be a prime candidate for the devil to wreak havoc in my life. If I'm going to be one that's going to allow a hurt to cause me to move away from my position of righteousness, then the devil will take advantage of that. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, he tells us about the devil being an accuser of the brethren. He'll tell you that the people that said this about you, and they talking about you in this place, and they trying to defame you in that place. See, we need to be settled in God so that we won't be tossed to and fro. Our thinking, our heart's position has to be settled. It has to be resolved. So heaven is supposed to be our template. That's why I said seeing then. We know that the word of God must be in two places, and it must be active in those two places, in your heart and in your mouth. Now, an active word is not just a word that we say over and over and over again. See? That's not an active word. That's just repetition. And I know that people have said to us that, you know, practice makes perfect. And I would just like to help you know that's not true. Practice does make something. It makes permanent. Because whatever you practice over and over and over again is going to be your first line of defense. It's going to be your knee-jerk reaction. You're going for it every time. See? So a word is a word. Is a word that your sight has given flight to. I like the way he said that. He said, because I see it, I'm now elevated in my thinking. Beloved, we're going to have to allow God to work on every structure that we have in our life. Some structures, we're going to have to tear them down. God's not going to do it. You have to do it. You're going to have to go through the meticulous process of dismantling, taking down, removing. Because if you don't, then the devil will use the thing that you decided you just had to keep. And he'll use it against you. See? A active word is a thing that your sight has given flight, where your heart has done its part in believing, and because it's done its part in believing, it's now fully persuaded. Okay? We can't just be iffy about the things that God is bringing us out of. We're going to have to turn our back on. That's what the word repent means anyway. It doesn't mean to just say, I'm sorry. It means to turn around and go in the opposite direction. See? So then you're going to have your heart fully persuaded. Because when your heart is fully persuaded, then your mouth will establish what you've been looking at, what you see. See? And it'll be looking at what you see by the Spirit and what you see in your heart. You know, I keep saying that the witness has to be in two places. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 to 20, this is what it says. Matthew chapter 18 to 20. And verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, heaven is our template. If you don't see it in heaven, it has no business in your life, beloved. Because Jesus has redeemed you from the curse of the law. So then things that used to be as a result of sin flowing all over your life, you have the right to stop that. Whatever is bound in heaven is going to be bound on the earth. See? So look at, it would be better that we listen at God instead of a CNN report so that they tell us what's in the earth. I don't really need to know what's in the earth that's stopping me. You know what? There is not anything that could stop me if I would allow the word of God to build me up. Because this is what it says in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. It says, now, brethren, I commit you unto God and unto the word of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. See? So then I don't have to listen at this lying prophet to tell me what I can and cannot do, what I should and should not do. As a son of God, I have the ability to do things that the world cannot ever do. Even if they try to accomplish it, they can't do it at the level that God has blessed me, because he's made me above only and not beneath, the head and not the tail. See? So then I start from a different position. Okay? I don't have to start as one, come on now, I don't have to start as one coming out. I've already been delivered. Amen. Psalms 107, verse 20. He sent his word and delivered. Now, like I said, I used to think he said he sent his word to deliver. No, that's why Jesus could say, it is finished. So I can enter into the finished works of Christ. It's a whole lot better for my life. Did he not say his yoke was easy? His burden was light? See, he's going to make a quick work of the things in the earth. I don't know why we think this. The devil is not up to the battle that God can't deal with him. He can't get strong and beat up on God. It's going to be a track record of whatever and zero. And we spend a lot of time dealing with things that we don't have to deal with, because you'll say stuff like, the devil made me do it. He's not strong enough to move you, beloved. He has been defeated. He is a toothless foe. Amen. But you have to be fully persuaded about that. See, you have to know that you know, and your know knows that God has preordained steps of victory, steps that you should walk in. He didn't say that those paths that you're supposed to walk in are going to be those that you crawl to him in. See, he doesn't want any imagery in your heart of a defeated person. You always triumph. He's given you the victory. All of his promises are yes and amen. See, so since the work's already been done, the roadmap has already been laid out, my job is to walk uprightly, because he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. See, seeing from that position. So again, deal with the things that your sight has given flight to, has given elevation to. You know, God doesn't even want you fighting from a position that's lower than where he seated you. Okay. Just to kind of look at it and see it, understand it. Turn to Ephesians. Okay. Ephesians chapter 1. See, we got to learn to fight from the right position. I'm not fighting from a position that I barely can make it. We got to get past that. You're not one that is insignificant. God has made you significant, more than a conqueror. Let's look at this. Starting at verse 16 of 1 Corinthians. Paul is if you could just go ahead and read all of the epistles of Paul, and in the first chapter, you will receive inspiration and information that should prepare you for victory. He's going to remind you of what Jesus did at the cross and your position over the enemy. So just go back and read them. You'll see that every one of the epistles that Paul wrote, that's something that was his assignment. See, so that we can see what he saw. Listen at this. Verse 15, God back. Wherefore I, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Just so you get this. Paul wrote this so that you can know there's already been prayers prayed about you before you even got here. That's why the victory was yours from Jump Street. When you made Jesus Lord, you are automatically victorious. Walking in it is going to be a little bit different. Okay? You got to be fully persuaded to walk in it. You know, I found out that faith is not blind. Faith has specific divine steps that you should take. Faith isn't blind. Just because you can't see it with your natural eye, that would simply mean you haven't trained your spiritual eye. Watch this. Cease not, verse 16, to make mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Let's look at this. He says, I don't stop praying. I continually pray. I don't cease from praying this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. I love that right there because it says that God, whatever God births, is going to be glorious. He's the Father of glory. When Adam and Eve were made, you know what he did? He crowned them with glory and honor. That whatever God births is glorious. He's the Father of that. And since I've got started, Jesus said that the devil is the father of lies. So every time the devil opens his mouth, he's lying. Something I'll just ask you, I know it happened to me. You know, when I got saved, I prayed the prayer of salvation. It was 2:54 in the morning on, I think it was a Tuesday evening in August. And as soon as I got through praying, the devil said, you're not saved. Wait a minute. Why did he bother to tell me I wasn't saved after the fact? You see what I'm saying? I got saved, and then he came and told me, the father of lies, you're not saved. See, he comes to steal the word that was sown in your heart. He is a flower. He is a person that deals in leftovers. I hope you get that. He doesn't have a fresh idea. He deals in leftovers. He comes to steal what was yours. Leftovers. That's why we need to pay attention to the word of God so we do not let a promise slip. See? Because he's coming to get your confidence in that word. He says, I don't cease to pray, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. Wow. That's a mouthful. In other words, God just said that if you have your eyes open, seeing then you will be able to understand what the enemy's doing and what God has done. You'll be able to see that. He prayed that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened by the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay. So then let's just try this. I know sometimes there were pastors that used to preach fire and brimstone because that was legal. If some say by fear and trembling. But the better way to make it work, Jesus just said, that you would, by the spirit of wisdom and revelation, in the knowledge of him. Okay? I don't need to tell me about all the stuff that has happened, all the wrong that I was doing. He said the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him. I don't need to know about me. I already know I'm a mess. I was jacked up from the flow up. I need a revelation of him. Amen. See? So then I need to talk about it. Paul said it this way. Whatsoever things that are a virtue and have any praise, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are virtuous and holy, think on these things. See? He didn't tell you to think on your depravity. Amen. And a lot of people will remind you of how ugly you are. Excuse me, how ugly you were, and then you feel condemned. Opposite of what he just said here. In Romans chapter 8, he said, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. But if I'm going to keep reminding you of what you did wrong, then you're going to lose in the fight. Okay? Look at this. May give you the spirit, okay, all right, wait a minute, y'all. I can't get past this. He did not say that the Father of glory would give unto you a spirit of wisdom. I might be able to get a spirit of wisdom from the college, from a book somewhere. I might be able to get a spirit of wisdom. But he didn't say that's what you was going to get. He said you was going to get, you were going to partake of the spirit of truth. The spirit of wisdom. The spirit of revelation. There's a difference. See? Sometimes people will say things to you that sound sweet and alluring, but it was no foundation of victory in it. See? As a born-again believer, you'll get to the place where you can discern that because God gave you the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, the spirit of truth. In the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Okay, I love that. He didn't say that the eyes of your understanding would see one thing correctly. Being is an active tense verb, isn't it? He said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. More and more. Glory to glory kind of thing. That in this process of being enlightened, that you would know something. Glory to God. That you can take all of the guesswork out of it. See, salvation is not a guessing process. It is specific functions that once we execute or engage, this is what happens. See, it's not, oh, I guess I'm saved because I think I love God. See, if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's really, really simple. And since it starts off simple, it's going to remain simple, uncomplicated, and not convoluted. It doesn't mean stupid simple. It means easy to approach. Okay? So the wisdom, hold your finger right there. Hold your finger right there in Ephesians chapter 1. Go to James chapter 3. See, these are things we just got to know. James chapter 3. Starting with verse 13. James chapter 3, verse 13. He says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge that's among you? Check that man out. See who's a wise man and one that's endued with knowledge. See, the spirit of wisdom causes us to know things, not guess. Who is wise and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good lifestyle conversation. Let him show out of a good lifestyle his works with meekness of wisdom. But check it out. If you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where there is envy and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness must be sown in peace of them that make peace. So then, if someone is always telling you how bad you are, all the mistakes you made, that's not easy to be entreated, is it? So if it's not, he said, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy. So if I'm condemning you about what you did, I just threw away mercy, didn't I? See, we can eliminate questions by scripture. He's going to give you the spirit of wisdom. He's going to give you the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him so that you'll know, I ain't got to be beat up no more. See? The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. The word told us that the wisdom that is from above, there is a second wisdom. It is earthly, sensual, devilish. Okay? It has in it envies and strife. And if that's what you have been accustomed to listening to, then he says, where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Okay? So just know that. Since he's giving you the spirit of wisdom, he's giving you the spirit of revelation, in the knowledge of him. Let's stay with that. Go back to Ephesians. Now I'll try to finish this up. He says, I cease not to pray to make mention of your kingdom, to make mention of you. He called our names, in particular, Saint Stephen. See, prayers that were prayed for us, about us when Paul was here, are still effective because the word of God lives and abides forever. This letter that was to the book of church at Ephesus, this letter's to me too. My name's right there. He makes mention of me. That the Father of glory would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God don't even bother talking to you about small blessings. He just said that you will know what is the riches of his glory. Wow. God is taking us, okay, you remember Jesus said that in his Father's house are many dwelling places, mansions. See, he didn't even start you off with a broken shack. He started you off in a mansion. Hallelujah. So that you would then begin to think as a king, as a joint heir with Christ Jesus. See? That you would know what is the riches of his, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Listen to this part. That, if that wasn't good enough, watch this. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? To those who believe, he gave them the power to become sons of God. And now he's going to help you understand that that power was not weak. It was a great power. It was actually exceeding great. Wow. So then that asks the question, do you still think that there's something God cannot handle in your life? When he gave you exceeding greatness of his power. He gave that to those that believe. So then if you don't believe, understand how to believe, having gone through the processing of straightening out your belief system, then you might keep thinking that the power that you have is minuscule. But that's not what the scripture just said. That you will know what is the hope of his calling. That you will know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That you would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards you. Wow. I mean, he's wanting to get this to you so much, he's coming your way. He's not just waiting for you to get to him. He's coming to you. You remember the prodigal son, that whole picture that he gave us of the father looking and seeing his son coming from a long distance, a great way off, and then he was running to the son. He already had prepared everything for the son, but he moved toward the son to say, I need to tell you what you're going to get. And then when he met the son, he kissed the son. And then he put a robe on the son and said, boy, you are royalty. And he put a ring of authority on his finger. And then he said, come on home with me. We've got a celebration. I've killed the fatted calf for you. I've killed the best. Your meal is going to be a meal that greatness provides. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to what? According to the working of that power. See, if I don't work the power, then that same power that you got saved with is lying dormant inside you. See? You can find out. The eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, and you will find out what to do with that power. You will understand how to work it. Amen. See? I'm saying with the prodigal son, the son that stayed at home still was not working the power. He got mad and left and said, I ain't going to be in this celebration. And the father went and got him too. And he said, boy, what's wrong? And he said, you ain't ever killed a fatted calf for me. You ain't had this big shindig for me. And then the father told him, all these things have been available for you from birth. All these things. This ain't nothing new. All these things were here with you, but you never engaged the power. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all principalities, far above all power, far above all might, far above all dominion, far above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Wait a minute. Let's understand. I've been elevated to this place where dominion that the devil had is under my feet. That the power that the devil had is under my feet. That the power that the devil had to cause names to affect me. Names like poverty. Names like sickness and disease. Names like lack. See, he effectively activated the power. It's working, and it works for you. Keep on reading chapter 2, just so that you can know it's not, I'm not making this up, that you've been made to sit there. You start the fight with the devil under your feet. In fact, you ain't even got to fight, but I get it. If you start the resistance process, that's what the Bible said. It said, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Verse chapter 2, and you. So in case we didn't get it, we thought all that stuff was just Jesus' blessing. That was Jesus' inheritance. Okay, let's read what he says. And you, who he have quickened, were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the power of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation, lifestyle, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling our flesh, and in the fulfilling our desires, and the flesh in our mind, and were by nature children of disobedience, children of wrath, even as others. But, you know what the word but does? The word but is a Holy Ghost eraser. So then everything that was before the but is no longer effective. is no longer in play. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath he quickened us with Christ, quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show what is the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Listen to that again. He wants to show something to us in the ages to come. He wants to show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness. Wow. It's like kindness would be enough, but it's engulfed by this exceeding grace, these exceeding riches. Whew. I mean, God is so in love with you and has so prepared you for victory by his word. So that if you would purpose in your heart to perpetually go to the word and hear what God is saying about you today, today, every day, he is showering you down. He's loading you down with benefits daily. So that if you would go into the scripture and begin to hear, meditate, seeing then, that's what we're talking about, seeing from then. This is what God has done, and he's made available for you to activate. Okay? So you've been fighting fights that were under your feet. Why? Here's just good information. You can use this. If you thought you had to fight a fight, then just understand, he said, he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk. Now, I don't know, if I'm in a fight and I'm losing, I would probably want to run from that fight, wouldn't I? But he said he wants you to walk uprightly. Walk in your benefits. Step perpetually on the devil's head. See? Because you've been made to sit together with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that world which is to come. See? So he's giving us, okay, let's do it this way. He's giving us that as our study, as our homework, that we can go and say, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. You under my feet, fear. You under my feet, poverty. You under my feet, lack. Not only are you under my feet, I've been made to sit far above. So I'm not going to listen to your lies no more. I'm not going to try to get my information from society anymore. You know, I thought about that just now. If I've been, as I've been made to sit together with him in heavenly places, I need to get my information from heaven, not from my circumstances, things circled around me, standing against me. I need to get my information from heaven, seeing then. Okay. So when I get my heart cleansed. See? First thing I do, this is what we should do. An active word. We're trying to find out what an active word looks like. Okay? And it's the first step has to be your sight has to give that word flight, has to elevate that word. Your sight. Those of you that might shoot hunt or whatever, you have your instrument that you use to shoot with, and on that instrument is a sight. What's the sight for? So that you can make sure that the target is going to be struck. Well, since that's what he wants you to do, cause your sight to give the word that you're looking at, to give it elevation, to give it prominence in your life. Yeah. See? You don't need to halfway fear. He said, fear not. That means I should not have any of it. He did not give me that spirit. See? So then I have to let that word that I just saw, I need to elevate that word. Looking unto the word, looking unto Jesus. See, I need to elevate that. See, so that I don't look at what other people did in trying to get out of this, that, or the other. No, my sight cannot be horizontal. It's got to be a vertical thing. Look to the hills from which cometh your help. Not look around you. You know, we have been trained this, and so what we have done is we've allowed our job to take the substitute place of God, because we look on to check to see if we can do it or not. You know, I'm finding out more and more that the things that God wants us to do are not going to come from the money in our hand. It's going to come from the faith in our heart. I mean, he's done this so many times. Peter came to him and he said, Lord, we ain't got no money to pay our taxes. They're going to do some stuff to us that we don't like because we can't pay our taxes. And Jesus asked him, he said, well, Peter, wait a minute. Who is supposed to pay taxes? The visitors or the ones that abide here? And Peter said, the ones that live here. And Jesus said, so that we would not offend them. Did you hear that? I know what's right, but so that we won't offend them, do this. Go down to the sea, and the first fish that you catch, the first fish that cometh up out of the water, the fish was trained by the word of God to jump onto a hook. Said, Peter, take your hook, go down to the seashore, and the first fish that cometh up out of the water, look in his mouth, and you'll see gold, and you can pay our taxes with that. Jesus made the fish his banker. Yeah. See? So the things that you need in your life, it does not have to come by the power of your hand. It should come by the power of your words. Faith being released. So you have to, these are the things, this is how you get an active word. Not just a quoted word. You know, I appreciate quoting, saying scripture, but if it hasn't become alive on the inside, you're going to have to be there a little longer. Give sight to that word that you're seeing. Make your sight give the word flight. Where your heart now has done its part in believing, being fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Not halfway hoping, but fully persuaded. Amen. I got a brother that's on the line right now, and some of the things that his testimony came because he was fully persuaded. I mean, in impossible situations, he still remained fully persuaded. And just like Abraham, you get to enjoy what you believe. Then what happens after your heart is fully persuaded, that your sight has elevated the word and it's taken flight, and your heart has done its part in believing, now your mouth establishes what you see in the spirit, what you see in two places. You see it in the spirit, and you see it happening for you. Because when you see it that way, you release the word into the atmosphere, and you can enjoy it now in your life. God's ears become attentive to what your eyes spiritually see and what your ears spiritually have paid attention to. Proverbs chapter 4 says, my son, pay attention. Listen to my words. Don't let them just depart out your mouth. Keep your heart connected with my words. Keep your eyes on my words. So when that happens, you are causing the witness of two. See, that's what he was saying in Matthew 18. He says, again, I say, if any two of you agree on earth is touching anything that they shall ask, it shall. The word shall is an absolute imperative. See, that's a heart that's persuaded there. It shall come to pass. It shall be done for them. I love this. It says, if any two agree on earth is touching, the thing that they're agreeing about, it shall be done for them. Wow. I'm not doing the work anymore. I am continuing the process of believing. I am going from faith to faith, from glory to glory. But I don't have to worry about that situation because God is going to do it. Okay, I'm just thinking about the axe head that floated in the water. Axe heads don't float, y'all. And it was specific. He came to the prophet and he said, oh, master, I need help. I dropped the axe head, fell off while we were using it, and it went into the water. And behold, alas, he says, it was borrowed. So I'm really in trouble. It wasn't even my axe head. And so the prophet said, show me where it went in. That was a specific place. All of the iron in that water did not come up. Just the one that faith was released for. See? You have to get to the place where your faith becomes pinpoint accurate. There is a place in God that allows that. And we need to grow into that. He's given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know. See, that we're not just throwing up a frisbee prayer. We have exact statements of faith that release power in heaven and on the earth. The witness of two. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. See? And I want to kind of open that up a little bit, if you would. You know, I'm aware that when he said that we were looking for two people that were able to touch and see and talk to one another. I got that. But I'm believing that God wants us to connect with him at every level. So as we connect with him on every level, then we should be able to have witness on the earth a different way, like this. I can have my arm agree with the word of God. See? Let me look at, I just got this. I want to show you this. I was looking at it today. I want everything to agree. Everything to flow. My spiritual eyes are first because they have to see the thing. Okay? So there's agreement with me and my eyes. But then there's going to be agreement with my heart and what I saw. Okay? what I'm seeing in the spirit. I have my heart is submitted to spiritual things. That's the second witness today. Okay? I'm getting you, because a lot of times you're not going to be in a place where you can connect with somebody in the natural. Well, Jesus ever lived to make intercession for us. So I connect with him. Holy Ghost is here. And again, as I pour into the Spirit, as the Father pours into the Son, as the Son pours into, you see, it's a continual cycle. So I have my eyes, my spiritual eyes are the first witness. My heart that is submitted to spiritual things is the second witness. Then my mind that has been renewed is the third witness. Then my mouth that is now the sword of the Spirit is the fourth witness. And my actions now are the fifth witness. And so the supply of grace empowers me to win the victory that glorifies God. See? I can allow the witness within my own life. I no longer walk in the flesh because I've had participated in my eyes being the first witness, my heart submitted to spiritual things, my mind being renewed, my mouth now activated, speaking by the sword of the Spirit and grace. Grace and peace is now multiplied unto me. See, I can then experience victory. I don't have to be upset because the attack came when wasn't nobody there to grab. I couldn't call nobody too late at night. If I would start understanding, dissecting, that my eyes are the first spiritual witness that's there. And then I need to get my eyes and my heart aligned on the same thing. Then get my heart and my mouth aligned on the same thing. See? He said two or three witnesses, two or three gathered together. And I hadn't seen it like that. If I don't have the confirmation in me, just ask a question, beloved. Where does Jesus reside? Is it not Christ in you, the hope of glory? Not just Christ that's connected to another. He wants to release the hope that's in you. That's the substance of faith. The hope in you. And so then you got these witnesses that are agreeing in your life. Your mind has been renewed. So then you think about it. Joshua, he was told that this book of the law should not depart out of your mouth, but you should do what? Connect your mind to it. Connect your soul to it. Meditate therein day and night. For then you will find something. You will then be able to have something because the witness principle was taking place even then. See? So if I don't have the two witnesses, the word that I got is impotent, but it ain't important. Yeah. See? It's not going to cause things to be done in the heavenlies because it's impotent. It has no agreement. It has desire. It has frustration. But it doesn't have agreement. That's why his will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because I'm seeing from heaven's perspective. Okay? So then, as I'm walking through that process, I have to understand that the word of God came from a place of power. And should be released by the same power in the earth. That's what causes an established word, settled word, given word. And as I know, an active word is going to do this. Excuse me. An active word is not ever going to go to sleep. Right? See? Because faith doesn't sleep. You can see that over in Luke chapter 17. See? Faith is not designed to just stop and go and stop and go. Let's get the flow. All right, just turn over there. Luke chapter 17. And I just love God. He's giving us these structural pieces of our life that we can develop victory unto victory. Look at what he said. Chapter 17, verse 1. Then he didn't say to his disciples, it's impossible but that offenses will come, but woe be through whom they come. So Jesus said, offenses are going to be part of the natural process. Don't let offenses stop your faith. Don't let offenses cause you to become spiritually blind. You know, because you don't want to forgive. Because this is just like, you hear, Peter asked Jesus, how many times I got to forgive? 70 times 7? 7 times 7? Man, please, try 70 times 7. Or an exponential number that by the time you could possibly get to it, it don't even matter no more. Offense is impossible. That offenses will come, but woe be through whom they come. It was better for him that be a millstone was hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Then he told them, take heed to yourself. What did I just tell you? Don't be caught up in the offense, because if you're going to get caught up in the offense, you might as well take a doggone millstone, tie it about your neck, and get thrown into the sea. Okay? Take heed to yourself. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn to you and say, I'm sorry. You shall, didn't say you should think about, you shall forgive him. And then the apostle said, whoa, Jesus, you're going to have to increase our faith for this. We don't have no faith for this him. I ain't that kind of man. And then Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this sycamore tree, be plucked up by the root and be planted into the sea, and it would obey you. So he's giving us some information. If you are tired of going through stuff, if you're sick of that, because I know I was sick of mine, so I just got through with this. I'm not going to hold on to unforgiveness. I was sick of it. I didn't need to be trying to wrestle with multiple millstones around my neck coming out of the sea of trouble. He said that, and if you had a small seed of faith, mustard seed, then you would use it. You would say, that's the way you use faith. You say. You would say to this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up, be thou planted into the sea, and it shall obey you. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he's come in from the field, go, sit down to me, and would not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, gird thyself, serve me until I am eaten and drunken, and then afterward you might eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did those things that were commanded him? I think not. That's what the word tro means. I think not. So likewise, when you've done all these things that you were commanded, you will say, we're unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty. So he just said, that faith is your servant. And you don't just say, hey, faith, take a vacation. No, you say, faith, continue to work till that which I have believed for is in manifestation. That's the way it's supposed to be. You have been invited to that which is higher, that which is above. See? So then commands shall always come down from the top. And so faith is a servant and should obey you. We see then, we let that word be established. Let it be established. Eyes, you will be spiritual in what you see. Heart, you will be spiritual in what you hear. Mind, you will be spiritual in what you think. Actions, you will follow that which is spiritual. See? That's position that he wants us to take. Seeing then. Well, I ask the question that I always ask. Your way or God's way? Are you going to continue to put your faith on vacation because you didn't understand when he already said he's prayed for you that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know what is your inheritance in the saints? Or are you going to continue to allow the devil to frustrate you for this, that, or the other when you were meant to enjoy all things richly? Your way or God's way? God's really waiting on you. Father, we just thank you and we bless you for opening our understanding, enlightening our understanding, causing us to look through your eyes to see what you see so that we will begin from there, seeing then, Father. Thank you that the work is already finished from the foundations of the earth, that we might be able to walk uprightly, knowing that we can receive every good thing, because every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither the shadow of turning. He's the one that wants to bless us, and we're the ones that should get in that way, not turn aside and function as a flesh man sometimes and a spiritual man sometimes. Father, we want to be those that are fully persuaded and walking the path of faith and righteousness, which brings us to victory. Thank you, Father, that as we ask you to grow us up, that you will do just that, that you will speak truths to our heart, cause us to see as you see. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committed to you is done in the matchless and marvelous, majestic name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, as we do, when we get to the end of the message, not actually, y'all, we ain't got to the end of the message. I got three more pages of information that I'd like to impart to you so that we can grow together and enjoy the favor of God together. So as we do at this part, we would ask if you have any questions or any comments about the ministry tonight, and you can make those comments. Again, this is how iron simply sharpens iron. Here we go, 773-895-9153. You have the mic. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight?
No. Hey, Granddad, I love you.
Love you, too. Thank you. Looking to see you. I'll call you in a minute. Be blessed. You know, this is a family affair. No, I'm just joking, y'all. I feel called. Area code 770-964-7501. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry today?
Hey, I was kind of thinking about when you said put two or three gathered in your name and so forth. And like you said something to the fact that sometimes you don't have two or three people, per se, around you.
Right.
But I was thinking, and maybe this is just me, but it says my life is hid with Christ in God.
Yes,
there's
sir.
Three.
Right, quick.
And then if we want to add the Holy Ghost, that's four.
So
when it starts, when challenges come, and, you know, one of the things we used to say, especially when it's something that you really can't do in and of yourself in the flesh, I say, this is a good place for a miracle.
Good
I love talking to Christ in God in me.
Yeah, in me.
And
so
I believe it. Because what it says, call those things as be not as though they were. So if I can see it, it can change.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest things I found out in Christ. I don't care what you're looking at right now. If you can see it, it can change.
Yeah. It's temporal.
And
subject to change.
God has already given us the authority in our words. Like he said, different life and the power of the tongue. So I'm going to say, okay, all right, I got a challenge with some bills, but I know who my banker is. So I start talking to the banker. Ain't no sense in worrying about the bills. They said, well, I can't pay my tithe or pay my bill. No, I'm going to pay my tithe because, see, I'm making a deposit so I can make a withdrawal.
That's right.
And so I'm just looking at it from that point of view as a heir of a kingdom, with kingdom principles, there's nothing that I can't have based on how I form my words based on what the Word of God has already promised.
Amen. That's just so true. That's what we need to stir up all of the time. Keep those in the forefront of our heart's position so that we would then be able to walk pleasing unto the Lord. Say what he say instead of what you see out from the natural. Area code 770-843-1578. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry today? 770.
I don't have any questions about the ministry today. I just am getting a consistent message listening at these things and other things that I'm listening at. And it's all about, you were talking about seated in heavenly places. And the message I keep getting to me is abiding.
That's right.
And
that's right.
That's a huge thing, because that's where all the growth and all the changes is abiding in Christ, staying in Christ, staying on focus, staying on the Word. Like you were talking about Joshua, it was just exactly in line. Don't let it get away.
That's right. Keep it in your mouth.
Let that get away. Because that's where your victory is.
Amen. That's just good, brother. Thank you again for being on the call. And we thank all of the people that are on the call and didn't want to share with us. We just keep praying for them. God has strengthened them anyway. Because this is how we grow. I mean, that's what the Bible says. Iron should sharpen iron. Iron should not run away from iron. It should sharpen it so that we can be encouraged. See what they did in the Old Testament. They didn't have the Spirit of God. All they had was the scriptures that they would stand up and read. Jesus in Luke chapter 4, he says he took the scroll, found the place, and stood up for to read. And then he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. That would encourage people because they already knew it. Everybody in the room knew it. But to hear it afresh caused the faith to be alive. That's what happens now. So, again, I thank all of you for being on the call tonight. And if this ministry has been a blessing to you, or if you've been challenged to grow in any way, please allow God to reveal to you how you can be a blessing into this ministry through the giving of tithes, gifts, and offerings. The only way we can stay on is through your tithes, gifts, and offerings. Thank all the cyber members that are participating in the growth of this radio station. So all you got to do is go to the website, livedeliverance.com, find the donate tab, and then sow the seed that God is telling you to sow. We'd also like to remind you to invite your friends and family members, co-workers to join us here where they can learn, listen, participate in the broadcast every Monday night from about 9 to 9:30 to 10 o'clock, and that they can all grow in faith in the Spirit right here at livedeliverance.com. So until the next time that we can get together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the countenance of his face upon you and give you his shalom. Love y'all. Be blessed.